The word today is Nicodemus. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. In the third chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus has a conversation with a Jewish leader named Nicodemus. Jesus is explaining the way of salvation to him. Here from our archives, with a look at this story and its significance to us, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Nicodemus.
We have before us today one of the most beloved Bible verses of the entire Scriptures, and I'm sure many of you, and especially those if you were confirmed in the Lutheran Church, probably committed this verse to memory when you were a teenager. And if you did, I think you would enjoy saying it along with me. It's the gospel in a nutshell, so to speak, condensed into a very short few verses, John 3, the Gospel of John, the third chapter, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There we have it, totally in a nutshell, so to speak, in a condensed form, the entire message of the Word of God. As one of the theologians back in history said, if you cut the Bible anywhere, it bleeds the blood of Jesus Christ. Old Testament, New Testament, everything in God's Word is brought to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, as he taught us what his Father wanted us to know, so that we would have the way of salvation and know how to be saved. And God is a God of love, and that's the message of God's Word. As a matter of fact, in the third chapter of John, right after verse 16, we have a very important verse, and I think we should recognize that today also. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. You see, there are people that don't know the true God, and as such, they probably fear God. They're aware that there are some things in their life that should be different, and as a result, they probably assume that God is just waiting to bop them one and to destroy them and to get even with them. And so there's a lot of fear in this world, that somehow God is not going to deal kindly with them. And so they create images. They're known as idols. They make them out of wood or stone, or they worship different things. And, you know, the end result is they're trying to get right with God. Well, as a human being, because of our sinful nature, because sin is in us all by birth, in the human race, you can't be born into the human race without being a sinner. And as such, there is going to be that fear of God and that kind of a helplessness of saying, boy, I don't know how to get right with God. Well, this is why this verse in the Gospel of John, the third chapter in the New Testament, is so very important. And I almost hope that many of you will commit it to memory. I know you don't like memory work, but you know, it's so important. It would be something that you could repeat to yourself over and over and over again, and maybe reread it over and over and over again until you know it by heart, because it's everything you need to know about salvation. You need to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the second person in the Holy Trinity. There's only one true God, and that's the triune God. All other gods are fake, obviously, because they've been created by human beings trying to discover God. And there's only one God who has revealed himself in his word through the Holy Scriptures. And we know him to be the triune God, three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but three persons, as he reveals himself as the true God. Now, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to this earth, here on this planet Earth, to suffer and die in our place. We refer to that as Christmas, or the incarnation, meaning that Jesus, who is always true God, takes on, in addition, human nature, the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. Now, he was not sinful as other human beings would be, because he was not brought into being by a male, by a human male, but by God himself. And God worked the miracle of birth into the Virgin Mary, and therefore he was born without sin. So we have a perfect God, perfect man, who died in our place and paid the price for our sin. The penalty for our sin was, of course, death. And all of us would have had to pay that. In fact, in a way, the human nature of our being here on earth pays that penalty by dying. That's what death is. But we no longer have eternal death now. We have freedom from eternal death because our sins have been taken away. And so Christ is the Savior of the world. It depends on what you do with him, whether or not you're saved. If you treat him as somebody that's unimportant, you don't need to believe in him, you don't trust him, and you don't think he took your sins away, well, then you're not saved. Then you still have your sins, and you're on the way to hell. On the other hand, if you see in Jesus Christ God's gift to you, that he came to pay the price for your sin, took your place on the cross, died instead of you having to die, that you now have forgiveness of your sins through him in his mercy and in his love for you, then you have forgiveness and you're washed clean in his blood and you have salvation. God the Father says, "My son Jesus paid the price for you, and you now can come and live with me eternally here in heaven." And so we will live with God in heaven forever. There will be no end to that. It will be eternal. And so what you do with Jesus depends totally and answers the question totally as to what happens to you eternally. Everybody will live forever, either in hell with Satan or in heaven with God. Now, if you have a Bible, I hope you've turned to John, the 3rd chapter, and you see that the incident we're talking about here is a conversation that Jesus has with a Pharisee. He was a Jew. He was not merely a normal Jew. He was a very popular Jew. He was one of the 70 members of the Sanhedrin. That was kind of like a Supreme Court for the Jewish people. They really ruled over all things. They were kind of like the governing body. So he must have been, for one thing, probably pretty wealthy, and also probably, a pretty prominent man with a lot of respect and so on. Certainly, the Pharisees kind of overdid it as far as parading themselves with their prayers and things like that. They wanted everyone to see how pious they were. It seems that Nicodemus had heard about Jesus, and he seemed to be a believer in him, at least aware of what Jesus was teaching and saying. And so he comes to Jesus at night, probably to keep from being seen by his fellow Jews. We don't know exactly, but that could be. And he asks the question. Jesus is going to do some teaching here. And so he wants to know, how is a person going to be saved? How are they going to have eternal life? And Jesus tells him, you must be born again. Now, this conversation in the 3rd chapter of John shows that Nicodemus is, I don't know if he's trying to be cute here. You know, you would think he would know better than to say, how can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time? Let's hope he knew a little more than that, but either he is naive or he's trying to get at a very important truth here, or he's letting Jesus teach him, and Jesus says to him, you must be born again. That's why, if you know Christians, and you know how they talk, you'll hear them talk about being born again. They're talking about the spiritual birth. They're not talking about physical birth. They're talking about spiritual birth. That's why it's sometimes referred to as the second birth, the first birth being physical into the human race, the second birth being spiritual, meaning being converted, becoming a child of God, and being brought into the kingdom of God, the Holy Christian Church. So this whole dialogue here is very, very meaningful, and I hope that everyone within the sound of my voice, if you haven't been born again into a spiritual relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit hasn't worked faith in you and you haven't become a Christian, pray for His conversion in your heart. Pray that He will enter into you, that He will lead you to confess your sins and to plead for the forgiveness of Jesus. God never turns anyone down. So if you come to Him and ask for His forgiveness, He will give it to you. Mean it sincerely and mean it positively in your life, and He will transform you and bring you into His kingdom. It is the most marvelous thing in the world that can happen to you, and it guarantees to you that you have life eternal, and that after you die here on earth physically, you will go to live with Him in heaven forever, eternally. Now, it's fantastic, and as you read this third chapter of John, I want you to, in the future, whenever you think of John 3:16, think also of the last verse of that chapter, which is verse 36, because I think it spells everything out kind of in summary form there. I'd like to have you listen as I read to you the 36th verse of John 3. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And that's a reference to the fact that anyone that dies in their sins without forgiveness is going to spend eternity in hell. So there's only two places after death. One is heaven with God for those who've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in hell is the other place for those who did not confess Jesus as their Savior, did not trust in Him for their forgiveness. It's either heaven or hell. It is my prayer that you will constantly refer to Jesus and be in heaven.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.